Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It has been called by many spiritual writers and theologians the perfect prayer, simply because it was the only prayer given to us by our blessed Lord himself, namely the Our Father. Our Lord's disciples approach him in the gospel today, and they ask him to teach them how to pray. And it is indeed interesting that they do this, but I think they wanted him to teach them how to pray because they had seen him praying. And there must have been something so edifying and so attractive by the way in which our Lord prayed that they wanted him to teach them how to pray, just as John the Baptist had taught his disciples. And so our Lord teaches them this beautiful prayer, that of the Our Father, which is given to us in St. Luke's version. So I'd like to go through the prayer of the Our Father today, breaking it down to focus on its parts and petitions as we seek to have a deeper understanding of it, of what the words truly mean. The first two words of the prayer, Our Father. Our Lord immediately identifies the relationship that God desires to have with us, like that of a father. And so he instructs us, just as he did so many times throughout the Gospels, to call God our Father. He doesn't use the phrase our Adonai, or our Lord, or our Creator, which are all well and good. But Jesus specifies calling God our Father. Because the good God is truly a Father to us. He possesses perfectly the qualities of a good Father. One who provides, one who teaches, one who protects and defends, and one who loves not with a worldly, fickle love, but with a true, intense love that was so intense and so beautiful and so powerful that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and to die upon the cross for our salvation. And so Christ fittingly calls God our Father, so that we might remember that as the baptized, we are all adopted sons and daughters of God the Heavenly Father, who art in heaven. Christ then draws our attention upwards to the heights of heaven. For it is there that God reigns, there God's celestial throne in all of its glory, and it is there that we hope to be someday with the church triumphant, the saints in heaven. It is this God in heaven whom we give our worship to. Now, God is not seated on his throne in heaven demanding us to worship him in order that he might get something out of it. We do not worship God for God's sake. We worship God for our sake. Think of it this way. A small child brings a handful of dandelions to her mother. It's sort of an act of worship in the natural sense of things. And what does the mother do? Well, she doesn't throw them into the garbage and say, "Don't you know that those are just weeds?" Rather, a good mother takes them and says, "They are so beautiful. Thank you." The mother has no need of those pathetic flowers, those weeds. But the child is in need of being taught how to love. And that is what worship does for us. It gives God the honor and the glory that is due to him, even though he has no need for it in himself. But it teaches us how to love and to be drawn more and more to God. Hallowed be thy name. In other words, may your name be holy. May your name be glorified. This signifies a plea for the name of God and God himself to be loved and respected and honored. It speaks to the very nature of God, that God is totally other, that he is transcendent above all things. His ways are so far above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. We keep his name holy, not only by treating his name with respect and by not using it in vain, but also and by certainly refraining from any foul language, but also by giving him the honor and the glory and the worship that is truly due to him. Thy kingdom come. This petition signifies the desire for God's kingdom to be made manifest on earth. But the kingdom is first found within our own heart, especially by virtue of our baptism, a place in which we ought to enthrone our blessed Lord, to keep him as the king of our hearts and by extension, the king of our homes and of our families as well. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Lord tells us in the Gospels, Not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my heavenly Father. So just wearing the badge of Catholicism and going through the motions does not get us into heaven. But it is doing the will of God the Heavenly Father, living a life in love of Him, obeying His commandments, and growing in our spiritual lives. We seek to do the Lord's will, brothers and sisters, for His will is all good, and it is in doing His will that we become sanctified, that we become the saints that we are created to be. Our Lord taught us this profoundly in the Garden of Gethsemane during His agony when He prayed to the Heavenly Father, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done." We must seek to do the Lord's will first in following His law that He has given to us, passed on to us through the teaching of the Catholic Church, but secondly, by seeking His will in our own lives. But in order to do that, we must communicate with Him. We must converse with Him. We must take time for prayer on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. Certainly, it's good and necessary to ask God for our daily needs and our daily nourishments. We must recognize He whom is the source of all good things, God Himself. So it's important for us to ask God to provide for our natural, ordinary needs and for the needs of others, for the means of living. But this line of the Our Father is first and foremost interpreted as, give us this day our substantial bread, which is the direct translation from the Greek, because it is a reference to the Holy Eucharist. We do not get to heaven by being satisfied by earthly food, by earthly material things. We cannot get to heaven by ordinary nourishment, unless perhaps maybe it's Chick-fil-A or something like that. That might help us along the way. But we get to heaven ultimately by partaking of the heavenly food, and cooperating with God's graces that He gives to us in order to be the good Christians that He wants us to be. We are fed and nourished and strengthened spiritually by the great gift of the Holy Eucharist, His body, blood, soul, and divinity. So we must, as Catholics, have a profound love and devotion for this spiritual nourishment of ours, the gift of Himself, Jesus in the Eucharist. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Here our Lord teaches us that forgiveness is reciprocal. We are taught to forgive as God forgives, to show mercy as God has shown mercy to us, to love as He loves. A great example of this is Saint Maria Goretti, who was an Italian young girl who died in the early part of the 20th century, being martyred for the faith for her refusal to give in to her attackers once. But as Maria Goretti was bleeding to death on her deathbed, she said of her attacker, "I forgive him, and I want him in heaven with me forever. I forgive him, and I want him in heaven with me forever." Think of your greatest enemy, or someone who has wronged you as of late. Can you say those same words? "I forgive them, and I want them with me in heaven forever." That is to forgive as God forgives. And lead us not into temptation. Properly understood, this line of the Our Father simply means, do not give us a burden that we cannot carry. Do not lead us into a battle that we cannot fight. Give us the grace to combat the wiles of the evil one. This petition reminds us that indeed God does. He gives us the grace to continue to fight the good fight. And finally, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Help us to fight the good fight, to avoid temptation in the near occasion of sin, and to fight off the onslaughts of the devil, who is our real and true enemy. We indeed, as you hear me say from this pulpit many times, are living in dark times, in the midst of grave evils in our culture and in our society. We heard in the first reading about Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, and those two cities were so great in their evil and in their wickedness. They were so great that God wanted to wipe them from the face of the earth because their evil was so intense and wicked. We, my brothers and sisters, are living in Sodom and in Gomorrah in our day and age. Did you know that the chief sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was sodomy, That's where we get the name from. In addition to many, many other sins that were being committed in those cities. We find ourselves in our present age in Sodom and Gomorrah in so many ways. Certainly there is so much good in the world as well. And the evil one wants to distract us from that good. We must implore the good God to truly deliver us from evil, to give us the graces that we need in order to continue on our way, on our journey, on the path of salvation. After teaching the Our Father, our blessed Lord encourages us that we must ask, seek, and knock on the door. For if we do nothing to communicate with the good God, how on earth do we expect him to communicate with us? God wants to bestow great graces upon us, my brothers and sisters. So we must take our friendship with him very seriously. Last week, I challenged all of you to spend time in prayer with God every day, 10 or 15 minutes or more, to do something that's going to benefit your spiritual life. Well, I extend that same challenge to you this week, to spend time in prayer with God every day this week. And think of some sort of spiritual non-negotiable that you can do every day this week to not allow your head to hit the pillow at night before doing that spiritual non-negotiable, whatever it is. Maybe it's praying the rosary every day this week, or the Divine Mercy Chaplet, or another devotion. Maybe it's coming to make a visit to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, praying together with your family, with your spouse, whomever. But to think of a spiritual non-negotiable this week and to do that every day this week. And maybe even ask someone to help you to keep accountable or to do that prayer with. But ask the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and our friends in heaven, the saints, to help you. Offer up acts of love and adoration, thanksgiving and humility, and offer your prayers to God with the greatest confidence and hope. Padre Pio once said that the world is so far from God and is in the shape that it's in because we do not pray. So let us ask and we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door will be open to us. We may not have our prayers answered in the way in which we want them to be, but nevertheless, God does answer our prayers, and he indeed gives us what we need. The Lord is there waiting for us to ask. He waits, longing for you to seek him. So go and knock at his door, persevering and persisting in prayer, and discover the glory that lies within. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.